Mark 1. Thank you so much for all the effort that the choir and the orchestra put into leading us to the throne of grace today. Thank you. It is right and it is proper for God's people to worship God. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy to be worshiped. And I know some of you are uncomfortable with seeing a hand moving around. I tell you what, if you're uncomfortable with that, wait till you get to heaven. Woo! You're going to be way out of your comfort zone in heaven. Way out of your comfort zone. Because I got a feeling that we might worship him for all eternity. Mark chapter number 1, verses 14 and 15. And if you'll stand in honor of the reading of God's word, we're going to do our very best to preach to you this morning about the gospel of the kingdom of God. The gospel of the kingdom of God. And I want to do my best to communicate truth to you. And I want to give you something that would not be characterized as a typical Easter Sunday message, such that you would say, I've heard this before. I want to challenge you afresh and anew. The Bible says, now after that John was put into prison, Jesus came into Galilee, and this is what the Bible says, that he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. I want to know what that is, the gospel of the kingdom of God. And the Bible says, and the time was fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Let me read that to you again. Jesus said, the time is fulfilled right now. Right now is the time for God's people to repent and believe the truth. Let's pray. Father, help us this morning to forget about everything else and recognize the significance of this day. Guard our hearts and minds from the clock and the things that distract us. God, I pray there'll be no cell phones that'll go off. I pray that there'll be no distractions. I pray that people will not move in and out. I pray that your will would occur. I pray that your word would be proclaimed. I pray that the Holy Spirit would fall down on this place, and that souls would be saved, and lives would be changed, and people would be challenged with the truth that I want to do my very best by your grace to try to proclaim. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. John is now put in prison. John's ministry is coming to an end. And now it's time for Jesus to begin preaching the gospel. And he's going to preach it in Galilee. And he's going to preach it all throughout Israel. And the Bible says that he's going to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. And so I want to understand, what is the relationship between the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God? Because the Bible says that he proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom of God, or the great news, or the exciting news, or the glorious news, this incredible truth about the kingdom of God. And I believe this is the truth that the world needs to know. In a world that's falling apart around us, in a world in which the economy doesn't look like it's ever going to rebound, and Congress can't get it right, I need to know that there is a kingdom beyond America. I need to know the good news that Jesus rose from the grave. I need to know that there is an eternal kingship of God, a kingdom in which God rules and God reigns, and it doesn't matter who's in office, and it doesn't matter whether we're winning or whether we're losing, because God is always winning. I need to know about a kingdom in which God reigns and rules in my life and in this church and in my family and in your family. I need to know about the place of God's eternal rule. And I'm afraid, I'm going to tell you right now, that for 4.5 years, I have not done this subject justice. And for that, I would ask that you forgive me. I cannot believe, as I've been studying this week, the number of references there are to the kingdom of God. And I believe that I've been negligent in connecting the gospel of Jesus Christ to the kingdom of God. When there are 69 references to the kingdom of God, 32 references to the kingdom of heaven, and numerous other places the word kingdom is mentioned throughout the entire Bible. I need to teach you, and I need to teach myself through the power of the Holy Spirit, what is the relationship between the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God? I'm afraid that I've been too negligent and thinking only of the kingdom of God as some faraway futuristic events, and I haven't been realizing that the kingdom of God exists right now. So what I'm going to suggest to you this morning is that in the same way on May 8, 1945, Americans and many other nations went crazy celebrating an end to the war in Europe. And they just had a blast. I mean, we're talking about party. I'm going to suggest to you this morning that this day on the Jewish calendar, when Christ rose from the grave, is our victory day. It's our victory day. In the same way that there are still World War II veterans, Ron, that will celebrate May 8th as the Victory in Europe Day, the day in which Hitler was defeated, the day in which the Nazis were defeated, I'm going to submit to you that all of God's people come together on Easter Sunday with a glorious celebration that in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, sin was defeated, death was defeated, and Satan was overcome. And it is absolutely pitiful that God's people get more excited about winning a temporary battle in Europe. And while that was an incredible thing, and I don't want to put down in any way, shape, or form, I need you to understand that was one victory on one day. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a global victory for all eternity. And so it is right and it is proper for God's people to get excited about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because we don't come together on Easter because of a rabbit, pastel colors. We come together to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The reality of that resurrection, the truth of that resurrection, the power of that resurrection, the victory that was secured for God's people 2,000 years ago when death was overcome. And sometimes I am guilty of forgetting the reality that God is ruling right now. I am sometimes guilty of thinking of his rule only in the future, looking forward to a futuristic kingdom, and I forget the fact that he is ruling right now, that there is a kingdom that is being expanded across the entire earth, and that kingdom is made up of citizens who share one common bond. They have all been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And they are now brothers and sisters in Christ, united not by a denomination, not by a religion. They are united in the kingdom of God. And what they share in common is that Christ reigns in their life. And they all collectively say, he is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Say, preacher, where does this kingdom exist at? Let me give you four ideas. Number one, this kingdom exists inside you and exists inside me if you're a born-again believer. Inside you, brother. The kingdom of God exists individually in my heart and in my life and in my brain and in my hands. When I take these legs and I take them where Jesus wants them, the kingdom of God is being expanded. When I use this brain the way God intends me to use it, the kingdom of God is being expanded. When I vote the way God would have me to vote, the kingdom of God is being expanded. When I use God's resources the way God intends me to use them, the kingdom of God is being expanded. And then the kingdom of God should exist in my family and should exist in your family. When a husband and a wife join together in holy matrimony and both of them are submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God begins to expand. And then they have a child and they raise that child in a home in which Jesus is king. And suddenly the kingdom of God expands in that family. And then they have two more children. And then they have a second generation. And then they have a third generation. And suddenly what you have is the kingdom of God existing in a family in a very corporate sense. And that reminds me That it's your responsibility to win your children to Jesus. Don't put that off on a Sunday school teacher. Don't put that off on a WANA worker. You, dad, take responsibility for leading your children to Jesus Christ. And you individually, dads, take responsibility for expanding the kingdom of God in your home. And then number three, the kingdom of God exists corporately in churches. Churches in which Jesus is king. Not where the preacher's king, not where a cultic leader seems to rule and reign, and Christ is barely talked about because it's all about him. Not in a church in which the prosperity gospel is dominant and it's all about making money in this world. Right. I'm talking about a church in which the gospel of Jesus Christ is clearly proclaimed. And then number four, the kingdom of God exists globally. Jesus rules and reigns, intervening whenever he wants, as much as he wants, and I'll talk about that some more. So Luke said to us, neither shall they say, lo, where? Over there? Or is the kingdom over there? Is the kingdom in America? Is the kingdom south? Is this kingdom north? He said, no, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Or is it? Or is it? Is the kingdom of God inside you or not? It doesn't come by birth.
That's right.
It doesn't come by birth. The kingdom of God does not come by birth. And then Jesus said, when he was being interrogated before his death, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight that I should be delivered. But he said, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Right now, it's not from here. Right now, my kingdom is not from here. If my kingdom was, I would call for my disciples and we would fight through this thing and you would not crucify me. He said, but my kingdom is not of this world right now. But please notice the way out he gives. Notice the way out. He says on the very last line, conjunction, but now, right now, my kingdom is not from here. There's coming a day, listen to me please, all the way in the back. There's coming a day in which Christ will rule on this earth. Jesus said, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, Matthew 24:44, Jesus said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. The gospel of the kingdom, the good news that there is a God, the good news that there is a God. And may I tell you, that God is not way far, far away.
That's right.
That God is not absentee God. That God is not an impotent God. That is an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving God who intervenes and rules and reigns in the kingdom of men. Daniel chapter number 4, Nebuchadnezzar needed to recognize that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men. And he ordains who's going to be set up and who's going to be brought down. President Obama, you are not the president because people voted for you. You are the president because God has permitted you to be a president. That's a kingship understanding, that he rules and reigns. We do not have the God that Thomas Jefferson used to talk about way up far away that wound up the universe and then let us have his way. No, that is unbiblical. The God that we have is ruling and reigning through his people on the earth. Take your Bibles, please, and look at Acts. The book of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles. I was floored when I saw this. All this week, all I've been doing is studying as many verses as I could about the kingdom of God. I've been looking at all the references, and there are many, many of them. Someone says, why don't you preach a series on the kingdom of God? It's called Preaching the New Testament. That's how thorough it is. It's not a little side note that you go and preach it. When you're preaching the whole council, you're preaching about the kingdom of God. Would you look in your Bibles to verse number 3, please? Verse number 3. The author Luke, in what is understood to be a sequel to the book of Luke, writes concerning verse number 3, to whom, that's the pronoun, let's identify who that pronoun is, it is Jesus. To whom Jesus showed himself alive. Jesus showed himself alive. When did he do that? After his passion. What is the passion, preacher? It's the suffering of Christ. And so after his death and after his burial, he rose from the grave. And according to the text, notice what it says very clearly. He showed himself by many infallible proofs. There was no question in the lives of the apostles whether Jesus rose from the grave or not. They weren't wondering, was it a spirit? Was it a ghost? That was no doubt in their mind. They knew Jesus rose from the grave. They knew that he was not dead. He rose from the grave. You say, why is that so important, preacher? Because they went out and gave their lives for the gospel. They were martyred for the gospel. They went the distance for the gospel. You have a hard time getting anyone to make any kind of a commitment today. Now notice what the Bible says. He spent 40 days with them speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. 40 days. 40 days of instruction, 40 days of 10-hour days working with Jesus, being instructed by Jesus. Luke 24:44, opening up the prophets, opening up the Psalms, opening up the law, and showing them the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. Let me tell you what it looks like when God rules in a family. Let me tell you what it looks like when God rules in the church. Let me tell you what it looks like when God rules in your life. Let me tell you what it's going to look like when God rules on the planet. Let me tell you about the new heaven and the new earth. Let me tell you about the future reign of God and the present reign of God. And for 40 days, Jesus Christ opened up the entire Old Testament for those apostles, showing them the kingdom of God, showing them the kingdom of God, showing them the kingdom of God. Now, turn back to chapter number 28. Now, the closing chapter. I trust you have your Bible this morning. 28. So now I'm at the last chapter of Acts. So I've got the entire historical narrative of the book of Acts from 1:3 to 28:28. I've went through the early church. I've went through Peter's ministry. Now I'm into Paul's ministry. And I'm at the concluding chapter that Luke, our author, writes about Paul's ministry. And this is what he says. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles. Jesus told him that. Jesus said, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth fruits thereof. Jesus, when he was on the planet, he looked them right in the eyes. You Jews are going to lose the kingdom of God. You Jews are going to lose the kingdom of God. That kingdom of God is going to be taken from you. That kingdom of God is going to be taken to you. And it's going to be given to a nation. What kind of a nation? A nation that will bring forth fruit. Fruit. What is fruit, preacher? It's evidence of conversion. That's what fruit is. It's God's people doing God's will. Bible says, and the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, that they will hear it. What's the salvation of God? It's the good news that you don't have to die and go to hell. It's the good news that your sins can be forgiven. It's the good news that you don't have to work hard, do right, working, trying to get into heaven. That your sin and your disobedience has already been forgiven through Christ Jesus. Now please notice the very end of Paul's ministry. And when he said these things, the Jews departed and had great reason among themselves. Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, receiving all that came upon him. So Paul's in the end of his ministry, Pastor Bill. He's at the very end of his ministry, and he's entertaining guests on a regular basis. And they want to come and spend time with the Apostle Paul. Want to spend time with you, Paul. Teach us, Paul. You're going to die, but you know truth. Give it to us. Preaching the kingdom of God. Preaching the kingdom of God. Acts 1:3, preaching the kingdom of God. Acts 28:31, preaching the kingdom of God. I'm going to tell you right now that if we don't connect the gospel of Jesus Christ to the kingdom of God, we have failed. Amen. We need to teach people to understand that the reason Christ died on the cross is to move the lordship of Jesus Christ into your life. This is sheer nonsense that people get saved and don't begin serving God. Sheer nonsense. This whole idea that you pray a prayer and then after that you're good to go and you don't have to live like God is king. It's nonsense. I'm here to remind you this morning on this Easter Sunday that God's plan is that He rules in your life.
Right.
In every way, shape, or form. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, please. Would you turn over there? Let's hear that Baptist air conditioning. You know what Baptist air conditioning is? When the pages of God's Word are flipping. Moves air. I sure could use some. Now, I don't have time to read this entire thing, but I want to show you the message of the kingdom. And I'm going to begin in chapter number 1. I'm going to work my way all the way down to 23. I'm going to try to just bring you the highlights. 1:1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, reading from the 15th chapter of the first epistle to the church at Corinth. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, and which you also received, and wherein you stand. For which have you been saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless, of course, you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day, according to the Scriptures. And then Paul takes us through, he saw Him, and he saw Him, and he saw Him, he saw Him. Over there, there was those people, then there were those groups, then the 500 saw Him, and then he says, least of me, and apostle born out of time, I too saw Him. He says, if there's no resurrection, we are of all people most miserable. Most miserable. What is the point of life then? Because I'm going to tell you right now, if there is nothing beyond the grave, I don't get it. I don't get it if there's nothing beyond the grave. My grandmother dies, my mom dies, my dad dies, my grandfather dies. If there's nothing beyond the grave, I want to know what's the point of life.
Right.
That sheer nonsense that he who accumulates the most toys wins. Garbage. Garbage. Now would you look at verse number 23, 24? Notice what Paul says. In the beginning, he talks about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, please look down at 23, 24. He talks about in 17, Christ is raised. He talks about these that have fallen asleep are not perished. If in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead? He is become the first fruits of them that sleep. For since by man came death, by man also, referring first to Adam, and now the second Adam, Jesus Christ. For in Adam all die. So if you are only in Adam this morning, you're going to die. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming, then cometh the end, then comes the end, then comes the end. When will I know the end? When he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. 1 Corinthians 15, 1, 2, and 3, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 24, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Paul understood that it's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that wins people into the kingdom of God. And that kingdom is expanding one convert at a time. Art, take me to my next slide. One convert at a time. So Jesus would go around saying things like this. He would walk up to people right in their face and he'd say, hey, David, you can't serve God and mammon at the same time. He would say things like this. No man can serve two masters, for you'll either love the one and hate the other or love the other one and hate that one. You can't hold the one and cling to the other. You can't have it both ways. And yet I'm here to tell you this morning on this Easter Sunday that America wants it both ways. American Christians want it both ways. American Christians want a booming economy and God's blessing, and they equate the two together. You don't know that God's blessing might not be a booming economy. We want it both ways. We have decided that apple pie is God's favorite food. We have decided that baseball is God's favorite sport. We have decided that God, the American flag will be hanging in heaven. I'm here to tell you that is not the correct perspective. There's nothing biblical about that. Go in and read your Bible. America's not even mentioned in the end times. You can't serve God and mammon. You know, I want to tell you right now, there is a great number of churches that are being built in Fayetteville, in North Carolina, and the United States on this prosperity gospel message. And that prosperity gospel message is not the kingdom of God message. You know that message. You serve God and He blesses and blesses and makes your small business go. And the only reason you're in church is because of the political connections or the small business connections you get. That's the wrong reason to be in church. You're here to worship King Jesus. Go ahead, Art, take me again, please. Jesus would go around saying things like this. You let your life be salt. Be salt. When you go to the bank, be salt. When you go to work, be light. Be the only one that's showing light in your squad, in your platoon, in your company. You be light, be light, be light. When you're living in a dark world, be light. When nobody else is taking a moral stand, you take a moral stand. When nobody else is choosing to do right, you choose to do right. When everybody else is holding hands and making out, you don't do that. You hold yourself for your spouse. When everybody else is watching that movie, you get up and walk out of that movie theater. Why? Because God has called you to be light. Amen. That's why I'm here to tell you that the kingdom of God reigns right now. We need to stop thinking only of way out there in the future. I sure am glad I'm going to heaven. And we need to begin thinking right now, what about Christ ruling in my heart right now? You know why Fayetteville's a miserable city to live in? Because it's the God of this world taking over Fayetteville. You want to make it a great city to live in? Expand the kingdom. Amen. Amen. Thank you. When you expand the kingdom of God, pedophiles repent. When you expand the kingdom of God, murderers stop murdering. When you expand the kingdom of God, people stop pilfering through stuff. Thieves, stop stealing when you expand the kingdom of God. Liars, stop lying when you expand the kingdom of God. How does that happen? You give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said it like this, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So here's the message as I understand it. The power of the gospel, the power that was secured by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is now available to the people of God. Right now, the power of the gospel is available to you so that you can begin living a godly life, so that you can be the oddball at work, so that you can take a hard stand when nobody else is taking a hard stand, so that you can do right when the stars are falling. Bob Jones Sr. had it right. He said, do right, do right, do right till the stars fall. Where are God's people doing right? This is an Easter Sunday message for God's people. If the kingdom of God is ruling in your marriage, you won't need to divorce. Yes, I said it. Yep. My wife and I have been married for 20 years. We've been through all the tough times just like you have. And if it wasn't for the joint lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives, I'm sure we'd be separated by now. But let me tell you something. The best thing that ever happened to your marriage is when the husband will submit to the lordship of Christ and the wife will submit to the lordship of Christ, and you won't need marriage counseling after that. When the husband starts loving the wife like Christ loved the church and he looks at the kingdom of God and says, that's how I need to be, that'll change your entire marriage. That'll change your entire dynamic right there. The wife won't have any problems submitting to a husband who loves her like Christ loved the church. The problem is we've got such a warped view of things. Jesus said it like this. He said, this is how you ought to pray. Pray this way. Pray like this. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. We don't pray that way. We pray, bless this, bless that, bless this, bless that, bless this, bless more, bless, 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 bless. When was the last time we prayed, thy will be done? Your will be done, God. If that means I've got to die prematurely, your will be done. That's what Jesus did. Yes. He said, nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done. The goal in the kingdom of God is that God's will occurs in this church. That this church is radically different by the power of the gospel. That we're not the typical church in Fayetteville. That the way we live our lives is radically different. And people talk about those Bereans are different. The people of God desire that the ruler of the kingdom of God be expanded until the entire world is engulfed under the rule of God. Here's what I need to tell you this morning. If you can't see this, you're not born again. So I'm talking to you right now. I'm talking to you. I wish I could just walk around every pew and look you right in the eyes. If you can't see God's sovereign reign in your own life, you're not born again. If you can't see God's rule in this church, you're not born again. Let me just be real brunt this morning, real obnoxious this morning. If you were bored when we were worshiping King Jesus, something's broke. You're not born again. You know why you can't see the kingdom of God? Because we saw the kingdom of God this morning. We saw God's glory this morning. We saw the Shekinah glory. You said you saw something this morning. Oh, you better believe it. I was standing right here and God was moving in my life this morning. He was moving in my life. I saw the kingdom of God this morning. If you didn't see the kingdom of God this morning, something was the matter with you. Jesus said it like this to Nicodemus. A very religious man like many of you, a very religious man. Many of you consider yourself, yes, I'm a religious man. Yes, Christianity is my religion. And Jesus said, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. I want to illustrate this for you. I want to illustrate what I mean by this. Let me show you my map right up here. This road right here is Hoke Loop right here. This is Rayford Road right out here. This is where many of us live out here. And Joe Droller lives out here. The Hawks live out here. Many of you live out here in Rayford. Raise your hand if you live out in Rayford area right here. That'll get you doing something this morning. None of y'all live in Rayford? Let's try it again. Any of y'all live in Rayford? Okay, we get a little hand. All right, there we go. It's forcing y'all to raise your hand up. Unbelievable. We're going to try that in a worship service, Jonathan. We're going to trick them into raising their hand during worship service. So I'm fixing to tell a story right here. And it involves Sabrina Torres right here. It involves the kingdom of God. You see, this is Rayford Road right here. How many weeks ago has it been, Sabrina? 4 weeks? 6 weeks ago. 6 weeks ago, Sabrina Torres was driving a car like this. Coming here, and there's a four-way intersection here, a little light here, and she crossed over here to go down Hoke Loop. Well, she didn't make it onto Hoke Loop. There was an oncoming Humvee that didn't see her. I'm talking about not a military Humvee, a civilian Humvee, cruising along at 65 miles an hour along Rayford Road. And that car smashed into her. That Humvee smashed into her. I mean, it smashed into her. Say, preacher, where's the kingdom of God in this? Well, let me back it up and tell you. Mrs. Torres, as I understand it, the plan was that you would go to the airport and pick up your husband, and Sabrina would have Elizabeth in the car with her. Is that right? That was the plan. Isabella, right? Thank you. I always get that wrong. That was the plan. But Dennis, you got delayed at the airport, right? You got delayed. So that changed the family plans to where, Sabrina, you didn't need to have your sister in the car anymore, right? So you weren't in that car, were you? No. If you'd have been in that car, it would have been rough, wouldn't it? Let me show you some pictures. Right there is where Isabella would have been sitting. Right there as the passenger is where Isabella would have sitting. Right there is where she would have been sitting. Right there is where she would have been sitting. That's where she would have been sitting. Right there. But she wasn't there. But the family plan for that day was that she would be in that car. That was the family plan. If things had went as normal, she would have been in that car traveling with her sister, and you would have been at the airport picking up Dennis. But our God's sovereign. Amen. Our God rules in the kingdom of men. You say, I don't see it. Yeah, that's it. You're not born again this morning. That's it. You don't see it. I got it. Because you can't see it. You're not born again. You think I'm talking about coincidence. You think I'm talking about luck. You think I'm talking about happenstance. You don't see the King of God, the King ruling like I see it right here. I see the mercy of God in this thing. I see an incredible ability for God to delay a flight so that my sister but you don't see it. You're 15 years old and you don't see it. You have no idea why God's people are getting emotional about something like that. You don't see it. Nothing moves in your heart. Nothing moves in your heart. You don't see God's sovereign hand delaying a flight. You think that's a ridiculous idea that God would delay flights. You think it's a ridiculous idea that God would send angels. You think it's a ridiculous idea that God would intervene. You know why you think it's a ridiculous idea? Because you're not born again. Since you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. You can't see it. It's invisible to you. You come in here and you say, what are these people all worked up about? You're looking at your watch, half bored, wondering when the service is going to be over with. You've come to church to check a religious block. You can't see the kingdom of God. And Jesus said that. Jesus said, you can't see it. You don't see God's sovereign reign in earth. You don't see it. Jesus said it like this, 5:27, 21, 18, 3, and 19, 24. Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you can no wise enter into the kingdom of God. He said it like this. He said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. Men in our Wednesday night Bible study, remember when we took some time looking at this? Not everyone's going to enter into the kingdom of God. Look what Jesus said. Except you be converted and become as little children, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus said it like this. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Here's the reality this morning. Not everyone sitting in this section right here is going to enter the kingdom of God. Not everyone sitting in this section right here is going to enter the kingdom of God. Not everyone back in that triangle right there is going to enter the kingdom of God. You've got to be converted. You've got to be converted. You've got to put your faith in the gospel. Jesus said it like this. He said, you seek the kingdom of God first. You seek the kingdom of God first. Seek the kingdom. What does it mean to seek the kingdom of God first, preacher? It means that you make God's rule your number one priority in your life, in your family, in your small business, everywhere you work. You make God's rule your number one priority. And then number two, you seek God's righteousness. You don't seek your own personal righteousness. You seek His righteousness. I would love to take you to Romans 3, but I'm running out of time. So let me just tell you, Romans 3 talks about the fact that His righteousness is available to us through faith in Christ. I'm not talking to you about do good, do good, do good, keep the law, and hopefully you get in. I'm not talking to you about balance the scales and maybe you'll get in. That's not what I'm talking about. If you're talking about your own goodness, you missed it. Because Jesus said, seek God's righteousness. So I want to tell you this morning, secure for yourself God's righteousness. Secure for yourself. Just like I can reach down and pull this blue card out right now, and this becomes my card, through faith, you can secure for yourself righteousness, God's righteousness. Just like I can reach and I grab this and I make it my own, and I say this is now my card, by putting your faith in Jesus Christ, you can do the same thing this morning right now. You can believe the gospel. I'm wrapping it up, so just stay with me while I wrap it up. Paul said in Colossians 1, 13 and 14, this is what he said. He says, at this moment of conversion, the Father has delivered us from the power or the kingdom of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That's what we were praising God about this morning. Joe, that's what we were so excited about, the fact that we have been moved from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. That's what I'm talking about. Let me just illustrate it right here. When you this morning put your faith in Christ, when you say, like I just said right now, I'm going to put my faith in Christ. I'm going to personalize this. I'm going to mix my own personal faith, and you're going to secure righteousness. The Bible says at that very moment, the Father translates you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And so you go from being, I was born into the kingdom of darkness. I was born in iniquity. But praise God, through Jesus Christ, I have been redeemed out of the darkness. I have been redeemed out of sin. I have been delivered from death. And God miraculously and just grabs you and picks you up and says, no longer will you be part of the kingdom of darkness. I want to move you over here and put you in the kingdom of my dear son. That's what happened to you when you were born again. That's what happened to you when you were born again. Have you been born again this morning? Have you been born again this morning? Well, we've tried twice and there's still some haven't raised their hand yet, John. They're not going to do it. I'll tell you that right now. Wait a minute. We're giving out basketball tickets. Ah, there we go. That'll get them to raise their hands. Paul said it like this, Brother Keith. He said, our citizenship, our conversation is in heaven. Our citizenship is in the kingdom of heaven. I am not a U.S. citizen first and foremost. I am first and foremost a member of the kingdom of God. Jesus said it. We're going to give it to a nation bringing forth fruits. So here's one of my concluding verses, one of them. You don't know how many's behind here. I do. Let's look at this one together. We're wrapping it up. You, Brother Rob, you individually, you, sister, you individually, looking right at you, you are a chosen generation, a chosen generation. I'm not talking about your family lineage. I'm not talking about what your mama and granddaddy and all that. I'm not talking about whether you're Hispanic or white or black. That's not what I'm talking about. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a much different generation. You are a chosen generation, chosen by God according to Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 3, before the foundation of the world, chosen by God, moved into a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. What's the prince getting ready to get married? What's the prince getting ready to get married? William? Yeah. William. The other one is Harry? Is that true or not?
Yes.
Yeah. Neither one of them got anything on me.
Amen.
I'm part of a royal priesthood. I'm part of a royal priesthood. Amen. Yep. My daddy's a king. My daddy's a king, John. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a king. My daddy owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. My daddy ain't going broke. Mm-hmm. Nope. I'm part of a royal generation. I'm part of a royal priesthood. I'm part of a holy nation. I'm part of a holy nation. I'm not talking about America. I'm talking about a global nation. I'm talking about the fact that there are communists in this nation. What? There are yes. There are brothers and sisters in China in this holy nation. You didn't choose to be born in America. You didn't choose to be born in America. Very few people in here became American citizens other than by birth. And you think there's something special about that. You could have been born in Afghanistan. You could have been born in China. You could have been born in South America. You could have been born anywhere. You could have been born in a pagan idolater's home. You could have been born a communist. Yes. So don't think anything special about your democracy and your American citizenship. Think much more about this holy nation, this peculiar people. This peculiar people that has been called forth to show the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into the light. And those of us who have been called out of darkness into light were absolutely thrilled to take a moment and show some praise to King Jesus. We enjoyed doing that. We enjoyed doing what we were called to do right here, which was to show forth praises of Him who called us out of darkness and moved us into light. And here's my final thought for you, and then we're going to wrap it up right now. The author of Revelation says that the seventh angel sounded. The seventh angel, final, gave out a shout, gave out a blast, gave it a proclamation for the future. And this is what he said. the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. That's what we got to look forward to. That's what we have to look forward to right here. The kingdoms of this world. What kingdoms are you talking about? I'm talking about the kingdom of darkness called Islam. I'm talking about the kingdom of darkness called Hinduism. I'm called the kingdom of darkness called North Korea. I'm talking about the kingdom of darkness called dictatorships. Those kingdoms become the kingdoms of the Lord. To the point in which there are no more kingdoms of darkness. They've all been overtaken. North Korea, it's a kingdom of darkness ruled by a brutal dictator who takes everything he can from the people for himself. He's selfish. Why shouldn't he be? He's not converted. He's in a pagan in every way, shape, or form. It's a very, very dark place. The gospel's not permitted in here. This is what the seventh angel said. The seventh angel says, Sean Harris, there's coming a day in which North Korea is going to become the kingdom of God. Come on, let yourself think about that for a minute. Just grab a hold of that for a minute. In the kingdom of God, Fox News won't have anything to report. Why? It's the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. Are you kidding me, preacher? You really believe this nonsense? Let me tell you something. If I didn't believe this, we wouldn't be here. Me and my family, we wouldn't be here. No way. No way. Brenda Davis said goodbye to his father at 50 years old. Sunday he died. At his funeral on Friday, I walked up to him and I gave him a hug. And I said, Brandon, I know what you're going through. In the last 10 months, my mother has died, my grandmother's died, my grandfather's died, and a dear friend, Brother Wade Holder's died. He said, I don't know how you're standing. Let me tell you something. If I didn't have this hope, I wouldn't be standing. I wouldn't be standing. I wouldn't be standing. Do you have this hope? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning? Do you have this hope?